Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
The 2019 North American Youth Congress, or NAYC, was a tremendous event. We're still getting more miracle reports, but we have the following. Almost 37,000 people gathered in St. Louis, Missouri for the event. Over 1,000 were baptized with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, including some staff and security at the Dome. And many were water baptized in Jesus' name in hotel swimming pools. Thousands of people were physically healed, miraculously, including wheelchairs emptied and one report of a cancerous tumor literally falling off. We pray this great revival will spread like wildfire to every corner of all of our cities here in North America and throughout the world. We want to bring you part two in a multi-part series, the message preached on Friday night of the NAYC by Reverend Matthew Tuttle. The title, You Can't Measure a Miracle. This is the conclusion.
But when your pastor defines it, don't you measure it. The wall isn't keeping me in. I'm glad there's a wall, because, come on, if there was no wall, the watchman would be of no value. Thank God for the wall. Thank God there's a pastor that can get up on the wall, look into my future, and say, hey, Bubba, don't go there. Hey, Bubba, don't watch that. Hey, Susie, we shouldn't be doing that. There's an adversary that's coming after your soul. Thank God for holiness. Thank God for righteousness. We measure ourselves, we measure the church, until we start measuring God. And this leaves us frustrated, because how do you measure as far as the east is from the west? How do you measure from everlasting to ever? How do you measure from glory to glory? Hey, friend, the truth is you can't, because you can't measure a miracle. You can't measure everlasting. You can't measure glory. You can't measure eternity. You can't measure God. I said you can't measure glory. I said you can't measure glory. I said, young ladies, don't be measuring your glory. Don't be measuring your glory. I wish I had some young ladies that would give God praise. There's some young men that would give him praise, because you love this great truth. You sick, come on forward. So they come forward, and we got our little measuring tapes. What's your problem? Oh, you got a headache? Hold on. Good news, God can do headaches. What's your problem? Oh, you got an ingrown fingernail. Put your little finger on there for me, bub. Whew, he can do those. What's your problem? Oh, you're blind. You know what? I know a good CNI dog place down the street. Maybe we can get together and have a church fundraiser and get you one of them Belgium shepherds. I hear they're the best for the CNI. See, the devil doesn't mind if you believe, as long as he sets the limits. The devil don't even mind you coming to church, as long as he sets the limits. The devil don't mind if you get excited about mercy, as long as there's limits to who gets the mercy. I've just come to tell somebody, you can't measure a miracle. You can't measure God's mercy. I don't care how far you've fallen. I don't care what you did. I don't care how bad you were. You can't measure miracles. You can't measure mercy. For we wrestle not against principalities, against powers, We wrestle against principalities, powers, and we wrestle against the rulers. The battle is not the people. But the number one weapon in the church today is the weapon of the ruler. Well, this is North American Youth Congress, and there's 40,000 or 37,000 people here, and you know, we're just a little home missions work, and you know, we don't have giant screens hanging from the ceilings in my church, so we can't have revival. We don't have a pulpit with a crown on it, so we can't have a revival. We don't have ninja cameras flying across the state. Hey, by the way, I forgot to tell the camera people, no aerial views. I'm balding here. Thank you. Wait, you need to zoom out a little bit further. You can still see a shine in there. Hey, look at that. I appreciate whoever it is that put an M in the carpet up here. My wife's like, that's not an M, that's a crown. I'm like, that M is for Matthew. I appreciate all that, guy. Y'all like, we don't have an M in the platform. We don't have crown. We don't have all the lights. We don't have a North American Youth Congress. We don't have popcorn during church and nachos and all that stuff. So we can't have revival. And what we'll do is we'll pour mouth our way right out of revival and feel justified about it. We got a little justifying comments like, well, we're in a small town. We're in a metro area, you know, they're rich. And, well, we're in the inner city, so they're too poor. We're in the Bible Belt, so that, you know, it's burnt fields. And we're in the north, so the people are too cold. Nobody wants holiness, and we just don't have enough money. Let me tell you something. We're never going to reach our world talking about our limitations. Small town doesn't mean small God. Poor people doesn't mean poor God. Burnt fields doesn't mean burnout God. It's not about how small your building is. It's not about how little your bank account is. It's about how big your God is. And you can't measure a miracle. I said you can't measure a miracle. North American Youth Congress, I believe the truth deserves to be preached from the biggest buildings in every city in America. Oh, you can feel it right there. You're like, yeah. Yeah, see, if I'd have said cancers can be healed, y'all would have went bananas. Because your generation has faith that you can heal. But don't have the faith that you can fill buildings. It is not just God's will that you have the biggest church in your city. It is God's will that you have the biggest buildings. I said, Pentecost needs to be the biggest building in your city. When they asked me to preach this meeting and word got out, people started texting and calling, and oh, Matt, you're going to be preaching to the largest group of oneness believers in North America in the history. It's going to be so big. We're expecting over 35,000. It's going to be the biggest meeting. It'll be one of the biggest church meetings, youth gatherings in North America and even the world. It's going to be big, maybe even 40,000. Some people are even saying 50. That's going to be so big. So I started praying, and I said, Lord, please, Lord, tell me what I need to tell the young people at this big meeting. I know it's big, and I know it's so large, and I need a word, God. And God said, there are 7 billion people that populate the planet. Tell my people, this isn't big. He said, tell them, this isn't big. This is the beginning. So I've come to tell you, this isn't the biggest we're gonna be. This is the beginning of what we're gonna be. This is not the end. This is the beginning. You're never gonna reach 7 billion If you think 30,000 is a lot of people, we're never going to have $1 billion if we think a million is a lot of money. I'm preaching to a generation that believes you can lay your hands on the sick and cancers dry up. Am I right? But you think $1 million is a lot of money and a church of 500 is a big church. But I've come to challenge your mind and tell you the same God that can heal cancer, raise dead, can give us a revival that's unprecedented, can give you the biggest city, church in your city, can... I wish I had a young man, a young lady that would believe, begin to get a little emotional about the fact your church is about to be the biggest thing going in your city. Yes, you're the generation that will see the dead raised. But you're also the generation that will see local churches in coliseums. You're a generation that will raise weekly multi-million dollar offerings. Because you can't measure. I said you can't measure a miracle. Last night, I was sitting in the section over there, and God said, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, and they're white. He said, look at the field, Matthew. I said, I know, God. He said, no, lift up your eyes. I said, I know. He said, no, literally, lift your eyes up above the club level. North American Youth Congress 2019. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Lift them up above the club level. I said, lift them up above to the upper deck. Lift them up to the top. Right there. I know we've talked about the 40,000 that are here. We've posted videos about the 37,000 that were present every service. But let's not forget the 30,000 that are missing. You've shouted when the spotlight was on the preacher. You shouted when the spotlight was on the praiser. But can you shout when the spotlight's on your purpose? That's the mission. That's the mission. Those empty chairs represent a girl tonight that's in an abortion clinic and will walk out with regrets. But next North American Youth Congress, she'll be sitting up there with hope because of you. That chair represents a young man that's addicted to drugs and he's on his way to suicide. But next North American Youth Congress, he'll be here up there because of you. I said, because you came not to end this thing, but to begin it. My question is, can you shout as loud about your purpose as you have about the praise? Can you shout about, come on somebody. Can you look at empty chairs? Can you praise him for the teenager that's going to be saved because you answer the call to preach? Can you say that? Praise him. Come on. For the family that'll be reunited because you answer the call to the mission field, because you answer the call to plant a church. This isn't the end. This isn't big. This is the beginning of you starting a P7 club. This is the beginning of you getting in an outreach program. This is the beginning of the greatest revival the earth has ever known. I can't preach. I can't lead. I can't sing. I can't teach a Sunday school class. I can't start a P7 club. Wrong. You want to know what you can't? You can't measure a miracle. But you can start a P7 club. You can lay your hands on the sick. You can have revival. Woo. Let me preach to a youth president. Come on. Let me just preach to the youth presidents of our movement and tell you that holiday youth conventions need to start. They're going to start moving to basketball stadiums. Sectional youth leaders, your rallies are going to be held in stadiums. North American Youth Congress isn't going to be like this much longer. We're going to have regional events because we're going to fill up football stadiums all across America. Then we're not even going to be able to have them because these will be our churches because we're about to have the greatest revival we've ever seen. Can somebody shout about what's about to happen because of you? No. I need you to close your eyes and see you walking into a coliseum every Sunday morning and your pastor preaching in the biggest building in your city. I need you to close your eyes and see your youth chapel filled with thousands of young people every time you get together. That's the will of God. He can do it exceeding abundantly. He can do it. In the name of Jesus. And then somebody declare the name of Jesus. Shout Jesus. Woo. We find the familiar story in the Bible of Lazarus. The Bible says that Jesus loved him, and that Mary and Martha were his friends, and they were close. The Bible tells us that Lazarus got sick, and Mary and Martha, they pray, and they say, Jesus, come. He's sick. He's got a horrible headache, but if you can come, you can heal him if you'll just come. And Jesus delays. You know the story. He takes his time. Finally, he gets more sick, he gets even worse, and symptoms progress, and they say, come, Jesus, he's now at fever and the point of death. If you come, you can heal him and he can live. But Jesus delays until finally the Bible says that Lazarus dies, and Jesus makes his way to the home of the man he loved. But before he could even get to the house, the Bible says that Martha ran out to meet Jesus, and she said, Jesus, she said, if you would have just been here when he was sick, you could have raised him from the dead. She brought her little ruler out, and the ruler says, God, you can heal the sick, but you can't raise the dead. Because he's fine with you having faith as long as he sets the limits. She said, if you would, and she's right, if he had been there, he could have raised. And so it is that the ruler has no problem with us having faith in our past. We celebrate 1978. We shout about what Brother Urshan did, wonderful men of God, and Brother Cole. And we have no problem having faith for our future, where there will be streets of gold and walls of jasper. But Jesus said, he said, no. I don't want you to believe just for yesterday. I want you to believe for now. And it is here, the only place in Scripture where you find Jesus weeping. He begins to weep when the people that he loves can only believe him for what he's done and for what he can do. I said heaven weeps when it looks at young people that can believe that Brother Urshan can do it and that the generation after us can do it. But we sit here and say, there's no way we can do it. And so, come on, the ruler, that's what the ruler says. The ruler says, well, when you get out of high school, when you get through college, when you get married, when you have your degree, when you're making enough money, when you're at this, then you can do something great for God. Then you can do so. But Jesus said, he said, no. He said, Martha, take me to the place your ruler says I cannot work. Take me to the tomb. Take me to the place where you say it's impossible. Take me to your high school. Take me to your college campus. Take me to your dorm room. Take me to the place. Take me to the sickness. You said you're going to learn how to live with. And I'm going to speak. Lazarus, come forth. I'm going to work a miracle in a place that'll cause Messiah, that you don't think it's possible, and I'm going to do it now. Woo, high five your neighbor and say, it's going to happen now. Somebody shout right now. I'm almost done. Oh, little David. How many of you know the story of David and Goliath? Little David shows up, little teenage boy, and there's a giant. But they don't tell him the name of the giant. They don't say this is Goliath. No, no, the people of God come to David, and they say, we've got the measurements. He's 9 foot tall, and the head of his spear weighs 15 pounds, and we've got it all calculated up, and it's scientifically impossible for us to defeat Goliath. The numbers say the world doesn't want this kind of church. The statistics say that it won't work. That we can only grow at this kind of a rate. But David looked at Goliath and said, you come at me with a sword, a spear, and a shield. He said, I got you number. He said, I know how big you are, 7 billion people, but I come at you in the nay. Oh, I wish I was preaching to a generation that believed they were the people of the name. That believed they were the people of the name. I come at you in the name of the Lord of. You know what a host is? A host is a number that cannot be counted. He said, you've got 9 feet. He said, hold on, let me start. One translation says, I come at you in the name of the Lord God of all the stars in the heaven. You've got 9 feet. You got 15 pounds on that spear. He says, hold on just a second. Let me start counting. My God, 1,137,333,130. Instead of focusing on the measurements of your giant, why don't you start counting stars? Why don't you start counting stars? Because the truth is, you cannot measure a miracle. And the only way we're going to have revival is if we kill the ruler. I said, the only way we're going to have it is if we kill the ruler. Every God-fearing king in the Old Testament, when he would take over from a king that had not served the Lord, he would tear down the high places. Scripture says, as we read it, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities and powers, these rulers in darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. Grab your ruler. Tonight there's 36,000 feet in this building. If we were to link them together, we would reach into the sky, into high places, beyond where airplanes fly, into the dimension and the realm where I believe the prince of your city is. It is there in that high places that we are wrestling against. It is there But tonight we're going to tear down the high places. Tonight we go to war. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We've talked about the kingdom come. We've talked about the kingdom will. But tonight, we declare kingdom war. And I declare war on the ruler. War on those that would measure our God. You grab that ruler. Last night, we made a call for those that would believe in the miraculous, and you responded. But tonight, I'm calling for those that will answer the call to ministry. If you will answer, come on, if you've got enough faith that he can heal the blind, but do you have enough faith he can call you? If you feel a call to ministry, I want you to raise that ruler into the air and declare war upon the limitations of the adversary. Come on, all across this building, I see rulers in the air signifying young men that will go home and begin to preach this truth. Young ladies that will go home and begin to start P7 clubs. Prayer warriors, intercessors, those empty chairs. They need us to break and defeat the high places. Here's what we're going to do. On the count of three, we are going to break these rulers. But you're not going to shout. When you break them, we are tearing down the high places. We are declaring war against the prince of your city. We're declaring war against the spirit of fear that is against every witch, against every warlord, against every satanic thing that is lording over your high school, against every darkness and oppressive spirit. We're declaring war on that thing that is high. We're declaring war on a mindset that says this is a big meeting. We're declaring war, come on a mindset that says the world, this is all that we could be. When these rulers snap, you don't shout until I give you the sign. When they begin to snap, I want you to hear the sound of hell crumble. And after you have listened to hell crumble, then you are going to worship God without any limitations. You are going, come on, if you break that ruler, the first way you're going to let the adversary know that the high places have been reclaimed by the people of God is in praise. And it's going to be more than just a little bob. You're going to break the ruler of your praise. You're going to come out of the limitations. Come on, you're going to do more than just patty cake three times. But there's about to be an explosion of apostolic praise and worship in this building that's about to revolutionize our cities, revolutionize the world. We're about to declare over the adversary, it's over. On the count of three, we would break them. One, your kingdom's coming down. You've ruled long enough. Two, over every insecurity, small-minded thinking. Three, it's over. You can't measure a miracle. You can't measure a miracle. The greatest revival is now. The greatest harvest is now.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.